And you're listening to KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces, KQTO 88.1 FM Hurley.
And you're listening on KTAL LP 101.5 FM Las Cruces. And you're listening to Speak Up Las Cruces with Walt Rubel, Peter Goodman, and this half hour, Travis Brown. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
And Travis Brown is the executive director and fair manager for the Southern New Mexico State Fair. And we want to talk a bit about the fair and some about the county bond issue that will affect you guys. Let me ask you, first of all, I haven't been to the fair for years. How's that going? Is it growing or slumping?
It's actually doing fantastic. We had our fair ended just a little bit over 2 weeks ago, and we had a fantastic event this year. Our attendance was up from last year, and really since 2021, our attendance has been extremely strong. And so even last year, we were down slightly from the year before, but it was still a tremendous year. So it's allowing us to continue to meet our objectives and our mission and put money back into the youth that are participating in the fair and put money back into the event, trying to continue to make it grow and make it bigger and better every year.
Now, from outside, I look at us having this tradition of working with animals and plants and that kind of thing, and kids doing that. And I see the farms kind of drying up, and I wonder about something like this, the Southern New Mexico State Fair, where kids are bringing in the chickens or pigs or whatever they've raised. Is it growing as a culture still?
It's hard for me to say with certainty about that.
Sure.
As far as our participation by youth who are entering and exhibiting in our fair, whether that's in the livestock area or non-livestock, where you have, as you said, gardening and plants, but that also is leatherworking and quilting and a lot of those things that traditionally were maybe done part of the agricultural community and Western heritage, mm-hmm. that have somewhat started fading away. And so we are seeing fairly steady numbers in the livestock area, and we are actually seeing an increase in our non-livestock exhibits. And so I think it is something that is still seen as valuable and critical. Certainly that's part of our purpose of trying to educate the public, because that's a big part of what we do. I've seen it as we have all the festivities and events to bring people in, and then when we have them there, we try to expose them to the animals and to our educational programs, and to see and learn a little bit more about what's taking place around our community and nationally. So I think we're kind of holding our own, and we'll continue to try to push to make sure that's the case moving forward.
I think it's great to be encouraging so many young people to continue crafts and other practices.
Yeah, and it really is a celebration of kind of a simpler, older, because the competitions, like you say, you have cooking and sewing and all of these skills that were critical that are kind of being pushed out by AI, and it is sort of, I think, clinging to those traditions that we all I was gonna ask, are there as many kids in 4-H and FFA now as there used to be? Is that still
based on my daughter's actually a FFA advisor at one of the high schools, and so I have a little bit of in there, I guess, and of course that's our primary audience when it comes to the youth exhibitors at our event. So numbers continue to be strong, whether they, and I think everything's cyclical. I know that coming out of COVID numbers, they had to build up again, but I believe both 4-H in the county, as well as I would say probably the FFA programs within the high schools. In some cases, they're actually expanding. We now have FFA programs in most of the middle schools within the school district. So, you know, that only happened, I think, in the last 3 to 4 years to the extent that it is now. So I think both of, I think 4-H, FFA, both, just as everything, you know, everyone else is looking for ways to appeal to the new generation and recognize that maybe, maybe what drew me into some of those things is not going to be the impetus now for kids to come in. So they have to find, you know, new programs, new projects, new things that are going to appeal to this generation that still tie into the agricultural philosophy and mindset.
Let's talk about the bond.
Okay.
How much would it be? What will it do? And why is it needed?
Well, you know, and so the bond, there's a somewhat of a misconception, I think, overall in the community that we as the Southern New Mexico State Fair and Rodeo are kind of in charge of the fairgrounds. So the fairgrounds are owned by Doniana County, and we rent the grounds for our event. No different than any other organization goes out and rents portions of the facilities throughout the year. For many years, our organization did have an agreement with Doniana County where we ran the fairgrounds on their behalf. So I think that's part of the reason that the community, and it's still referred to as the Southern New Mexico State Fairgrounds, it's actually the Doniana County Fairgrounds officially. So, you know, so the bond issue is something that the county has put together. They're the ones that are doing it. And so our position on it really has to do more with just looking at it from the sense of what we think it could benefit to our organization, our event, as well as a little bit broader, because we do see what else is taking place out there and no other organizations using the ground. So, you know, specifically the question number two is in reference to improvements at the fairgrounds. The county is asking for up to $35 million and for improvements for venues and facilities and structures, which also includes the planning, development, and potentially construction of an amphitheater. So, you know, that's really the question that as it's posed, and the amount of specifically the amount that the county is looking at.
How, if you know, if that passes, how does it affect specifically the fair?
Well, I think any improvement that is done to the facilities benefits us, and I have to give the county credit. They have been working diligently now for the last 6 or 7 years, slowly chipping away and making a tremendous improvement out there, primarily through legislative capital outlay funding that they have received and a few other sources. So, you know, they have been steadily working to improve the grounds. I think something along this lines could really, though, take what has been, you know, taking an old 50-year-old metal building and putting some foam insulation on it, and trying to maybe a new air conditioner or two could really now take that structure to potentially something that has a sound system or has capabilities. They've been working diligently on the connectivity issues out there. So I think there's tremendous infrastructure needs. You know, the parking lot is primarily still a dirt parking lot. And during our event, when we have, you know, 5,000-6,000 vehicles or probably more parked out there, and there's no lighting in the parking lot. Right. I mean, we bring in tower lighting to try to illuminate the parking lot a little bit. So, the bathroom facilities. You know, this year we had our Saturday night was a tremendous event. And we actually ended up having to shut down one of the restrooms because the septic tank could not handle the amount of use that restroom was receiving. So there are a lot of those things, electrical upgrades, again, lighting, pavement, things that aren't maybe the fancy items that everybody wants to see, but that those things could help us tremendously.
We should note for listeners who aren't familiar that the event takes place in late September.
Correct.
So it just happened, and you can plan to go next year. I also wanted, in regard to your mention of the county, for having somebody on this show, I left a message with you guys, and I got you. And your message says, if you want to rent any space or anything like that, call this number at the county. And I got nobody and just a message saying their mailbox was full. And well, so nobody's here from the county. Anyway.
I will say I know I was was asked to participate on a master plan that was initiated, I believe, about a year and a half ago for the fairgrounds. Again, so there's been an effort on the part of the county, I think, for multiple years now, to really try to recognize that there's a tremendous opportunity out there, and as the venue improves, I think that's going to even be better.
The amphitheater is that would not be for you guys primarily, but for attracting other events. Right?
That's my understanding. I don't have a lot of information on the amphitheater
because I know it's not your field of expertise, but I'm a little, I guess, concerned that maybe it's way out in the middle of nowhere. Would people really show up for stuff out there?
For the right band, they would. Yeah, if it was the right band.
I think that is a challenge with the fairgrounds in general, whether it's for the amphitheater. Yeah. We face that because it is 12 miles out of town, and the closest hotel is, you know, down off of Avenida de Mesilla.
And driving there in the evening, you are going right into the sunshine.
Right, and so there are the remoteness of the grounds does create some challenges that I think, especially if you are looking to bring in, kind of that maybe that next level of performers and those things. Those are all things that do have to be considered and evaluated.
But on the other hand, I could see why the county would say we've got this facility out here. We're getting great use out of it 1 week a year, but the rest of the time it's kind of sitting there for the most part.
And they do. There's quite a bit. There's actually more activity that takes place out there than what I believe most members of the public realize. And in fact, since our event ended, they have actually had two dog shows that took place out there on different weekends. And the rodeo arena is used really probably at least once or twice a month, at least just even from local groups. And so there is activity, and we have seen an increase probably in the last couple of years because of the enhancement and some of the improvements that have been made. The old Speedway facility that is mentioned as perhaps being redone for the amphitheater, that's being used and has been probably for the last 3 years twice to three times a year for a monster truck show or rally sort of thing.
Right.
So I think the county does recognize there's opportunities there, and with improvements in the infrastructure, the facilities, possibly creating new opportunities with new venues. I think they're seeing that the potential is there for even more growth.
How much land is out there?
Oh, I don't know the exact size of the fairgrounds, but I would say somewhere in the somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 50 acres or with the parking lot, possibly even more.
Yeah.
One thing that the county is doing is they're actually bringing in, it's supposed to open, I believe, the Friday after Thanksgiving. They're going to have a temporary ice rink that's going to be put up in one of the buildings out there, and we'll go through February.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. So, I think they're trying to find new use.
I have
doubts
about that too.
Well, I do too, but I love that they're trying it.
Yeah, I certainly thought that's an interesting thing, but I will, again, I appreciate the fact that they are trying to do kind of maybe test the waters, do something like that, and in an existing building, in a temporary type of setting, to see if there is a, you know, what the response from the community is, as opposed to jumping out and saying, well, we need to build a venue that has that in it, and it might not, might cost more money and be more of a permanent type of structure. So
I guess you'll be able to rent skates, because I was thinking one of the
yes, you will.
One of the downsides.
Yeah, not a whole lot of people own ice skates. Yeah.
Everybody had skates.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah, it includes the skates. It actually is going to the personnel to run the facility and the program, or the rink, and all of that is included. It's pretty much a turnkey.
Right. It's an outfit from Georgia that could
correct.
Put this anywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, it's I'm real anxious to see how that works, and hopefully that's something that maybe the county can use that as a little bit of a litmus test to see are people willing to drive that 12 or 13 miles for those types of activities, or is it going to be more of we're only going to get them out there when it's a big event or a big concert or somebody that is going to draw a large crowd.
How did you first get into the kind of Western thing? I mean, were you born on a ranch out here?
I was born north of town, still live on part of our original family farm, my grandparents' farm. My grandparents came here from West Texas in 1932, I believe it was, and started farming in the North Valley. That's where I grew up. I worked on the farm through junior high and high school, and so came from an agricultural background. My father was actually the 4-H agent in Doniana County and part of the original group of volunteers that approached the county to try to convince them to take possession of the fairgrounds and start the Southern New Mexico State Fair. So he was one of the original committee members that was involved in that. So I pretty much grew up out there, and my kids showed animals, participated in exhibiting in both livestock and non-livestock events. My wife was in charge of the Queens program for about 10 years. My daughter was a princess and a queen, and so it's been a part of my upbringing and my life here in the community, and that's the case for so many other people. That's not a unique story in Las Cruces. I think it's pretty common story. People that are, we have second and third generation, probably some fourth generation people now really starting to participate in our event. Next year will be our 60th event. So we're very excited about that. We're hoping to maybe put on a little bit bigger and better show next year in celebration and acknowledgement of that 60 years and that tradition, because that is, I think, we are the longest running really family fair and festival in this area. So we're very proud of that and want to continue the tradition.
If you are joining in late, we are talking with Travis Brown, the executive director of the Southern New Mexico State Fair, and he is talking to us about a bond issue on the ballot this year for the election that would give $35 million
is what the question is for. Yes, sir.
And you talked a little bit about no lighting in the parking lot and some. What are, as far as you're concerned, what would be the one or two top priorities for you if you were to get that funding?
Ultimately the funding would, the decisions on how that funding spent would be through the county.
Yeah.
I will say that we've been feel very fortunate that the county has been very gracious in asking us for input.
I would hope.
Through the process, has included us in a lot of the decisions that have been made out there over the last several years as far as improvements to facilities and so forth. So, I do feel like we will have the ability to at least provide some input and feedback should the bond pass. But to me, there's some infrastructure needs, electrical upgrades, lighting, some of those things that would benefit anybody who uses the facility. So I would see those as, frankly, a priority, because I believe that's something that's going to benefit us. It's going to benefit the wine festival, the dog shows, any use out there will benefit from those types of infrastructure. So to me, that would be at the top of my list. The stage area the stage that we have out there right now, the main stage, that is next to the rodeo arena. It is very limiting. It's very old, and I think with some targeted improvements in that area, you could really provide opportunities to increase the level of musical performances, right, we could do out there, right, because it is limiting. Once you get to a certain, and when we're booking talent for our concerts, and once you get to a certain point, they want to be able to hang lights and speakers, and they want to put on a show, because right, that's what they're there to do. And that facility can't handle it. So currently it does limit to what degree of performer we can bring in there. Yeah. So that would be something that I think, again, would not only benefit us, but the multiple other groups that do have concerts, dances, fundraisers, and those sorts of right, things out there. So those would probably be, right off the bat, my top two for kind of broadly. And then specifically for our event, some of the livestock pens we had are the same pens that were there when I was 6 and 7 yeah, years old. And, so there's needs up there. There have been some improvements. Again, the county's been chipping away, but there are a lot of needs in that livestock barn and livestock area.
I noticed on the reading about your most recent event, that you had four days of rodeo. I've gone to the New Mexico State Rodeos a couple of times, but who is it that, is it a circuit of rodeo riders? Is it local kids? Is it NMSU? Mm-hmm. Who participates?
So a little bit of everything, because we have, we do what we call an exceptional rodeo, which is really just more of something, goes to our mission of kind of giving back and trying to expose and educate people about Western heritage and agriculture. And that's specifically for developmentally disabled or challenged youth, and they get to come in. We bring them down onto into the rodeo arena and have a lot of events that they can do, so they get to feel like they are a rodeo cowboy or cowgirl for the evening, and something that they may never have that opportunity. So we work to do that. Then we have what's called a ranch rodeo, which is really targeting more of the activities that you do on a ranch, working with livestock and gathering cattle and doing those things. And so that's a really neat event, because that really talks more specifically to the kind of the early origins of rodeo and where it came out of was actually what was done on ranches. Then we have three performances that are professional rodeo, and that's where you get people that are coming in from regionally, from outside of the community. They're on the circuit. They're trying to make money. They are part of an organization, and that's basically how they make their living. So they're coming to our rodeo trying to make money as part of their kind of annual living. And then last year we did a youth ranch rodeo, and we had that scheduled for this year, and it fell through at the end. So we substituted a barrel racing, which was, that's a little bit more of kind of local or regional specifically. So it really spans, from people coming from out of state to some of our local kids and youth and NMSU students who may participate as well.
I used to be the sports editor in Cheyenne, so I know a little bit about rodeo. One of the interesting things about that sport is that everybody is basically an independent contractor. You're all working for yourselves. And so they all make their own decisions on where they want to go, what rodeos they want to go to, and all with the goal of getting in the top 15 at the end of the year so you can go to the PRCA.
That's exactly exactly right.
And so if we are on the circuit, if we are convenient, you never know, you know, who might be dropping by.
And just like anything else, part of that has to do with how much money we pay out. If our prize money is higher, well, then we're going to draw. And that's something we actually increased our prize money this year to go from what's classified as a small rodeo. And this is under the professional rodeo circuit. Right. So now we are no longer classified as a small rodeo. We actually jumped up into a medium rodeo. And so, you know, those are some of the things as organizationally, you know, that's part of the business side of what we do the rest of the year.
Sure, right.
And so those are the kind of decisions that I discuss with the board, and they provide direction and make the decision that, yes, we want to put more money into payouts this year to try to draw a maybe a little bit higher caliber of contestant, so that our rodeo isn't just good, it's maybe better than last year, and trying to improve the what the spectators are seeing and experiencing and improve the quality of our event. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. You're right on the nose with that.
Yeah.
So we talked about rodeo. If somebody's listening and wondering if they might want to go next year, a long way off, maybe we'll have you back right before the rodeo.
September 30th through October 4th next year.
Okay.
I've already got the dates.
But what would you want to tell them briefly about what else they'd find out there that they might like?
Oh man, we need another 20 minutes for that, because really I think that is one of the reasons that we continue to have the support we do, because I believe we provide tremendous value. You can, you know, you pay a general admission ticket, which for an adult is going to be $10 on Wednesday and $10 up until 2 o'clock on Thursday and Friday, and $15 after that, which is the cost basically now of going to a movie on the weekends. And you have the opportunity to see rodeo performances. You're going to see concerts. This year we had Rick Trevino. We had Randall King. You're going to see grounds entertainment. We had four different ground acts. So you got to see people riding in the Dome of Death, riding two motorcycles around. You got to see a dog show that is, you know, the kind of dog show you see at halftime shows on television and those things. I mean, these are national acts. We had a ventriloquist. We had a Rhythmetrics, which was a percussion group. All of that is with your general admission. Then you have the opportunity to go to the carnival and ride rides if you choose to. And you get to go watch the livestock. You get to go see all the exhibits. I mean, it's...
And buy food on a stick.
And you buy food on a stick. Some of the most incredible food that you just can't believe people, you know, would be able to make. So it and you can come spend 10 hours there. You can spend 2 hours there. It's really up to you. So, you know, we like to say that we try to have something for everybody. We have a lot of local musicians playing, a lot of local bands over the course. We have wine tasting. It's really... if you have an interest, I believe we have something for you.
Well, my memory of going the first time, and I had come from being a New York cab driver to move out here, and the first time I went out there as a reporter for the El Paso Times, just watching the kids showing their animals was kind of neat and interesting and, you know, new to me. But having said that, how do folks reach you if they're interested in learning more about the fair?
Probably the best way is through our website, snmstatefairgrounds.net. Pretty much if you type in an internet search for Southern New Mexico State Fair,
it'll pull up.
And on there, it'll have information about our events. You can find my contact information, my email, my phone. You know, that's where we try to keep things updated as far as dates for next year. And, of course, as we get closer, all of the activities and specifics about our event.
Well, thank you for being with us again, Travis Brown.
It's my pleasure.